It's John and Lance.
I destroyed.
John's ripping Coors Light families apart.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You know, Robert brought up a point. Was that the most disgusted and disgusting sports event? I mean, watching Gerrit Cole sit in the bullpen while Harris gives up that homer against Washington.
Oh, man, man. Well, you got Cougs losing late against Florida, but, you know, that was just a really good game.
Well, you got Cole, five slam-a-jamma.
Yeah, well, that made me cry. That was the most frustrating because you were so much better than NC State, and you just thought and Guy Lewis didn't do a very good job there keeping – was it Drexler or Meshaw he kept? I think it was Drexler keeping him in until he picked up his fourth foul. And yeah, you know what? In my lifetime, the most frustrating is where you screwed it up yourself, and it would be Oilers-Bills. It would be five-slam-a-jamma loss to NC State. Gerrit Cole sitting on the bench because right. It's something you could control. And then I think the Texans and Patriots, really Texans in the playoffs because of the nature of how potentially smooth the road would have been to the Super Bowl. Those are four. I mean, we're Houston, so we've had worse ones. But every one of those you had an opportunity to control the outcome, and you blew it. You were right on Gerrit Cole, though. AJ, just make the call, dude, and we win the World Series.
Yeah,
like you lost the World Series because you tried to get slick with Will Harris. Like, what? Why are we going to Will Harris when you got Gerrit Cole?
When he said before the game that Will Harris was exhausted.
Oh my God! I know, and Gerrit Cole even got up and was like, "You have no more Gerrit Cole. This is the last time he'll ever pitch for you. Go out on your shield, bro. Go out on the shield. Like, go with your best. Go with your best."
And then he said, "Well, I can't bring him in." Before the game, he said, "I can't bring. I'm going to bring him in a clean inning. I don't want to bring him in with anybody on base." Like, Gerrit Cole's never pitched with somebody on base. I mean, goodness gracious. Oh. That was I don't know. CJ was pretty disgusting, though. CJ was really disgusting. I don't know. I don't know which one was worse. I don't know. But I love that Robert Flores was disgusted.
I do too, because he's a Houston fan.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, that just tells you he's still true to Houston.
Yep. So
he's not the Travis Scott of sports analysts who moves away from here, and is Roflo Houston? Is Travis Scott Houston? No, is he a Houston rapper? Not really. Don Tolliver is, but not Travis Scott. Is Roflo a Houston? Oh, 100% Roflo's a Houston guy. He'll tell you on the broadcast of a baseball game.
Yep.
He'll rep the Astros. In your face on MLB and on MLB Network.
Yeah.
By the way, absolutely. The NFL bought out ESPN bought out MLB Network, so they're buying all the networks, so they're done too.
So
I'm kidding. That's not true. That's not true. No. They just bought my network.
Just why do you say stuff? So AJ, who texts me all the time about different stuff. He asked me, "Hey, what about the Texans and Tyreek Hill?" No, thank you. And by the way, he's gonna
wait one second here.
He's gonna have surgery, dude. He ain't gonna be around.
Well, he's gonna have legal issues. Okay, Dell, what's wait? Hasn't he had surgery?
No, he's got another one coming. Apparently,
he has another surgery and legal matters.
Yes. He's got all that.
I mean, they did.
That doesn't sound very Texan to me.
No, but renting a guy for 1 year sounds Texan-y.
I've
seen it with Steph Diggs. This guy gets separation he can get separation inside outside. Well, if he's healthy.
Listen, if if
$3 million if he, hometown discount.
If,
let's go.
If he was healthy 1 year, yeah, great. Great. That'd be awesome. But he's neither of those. He's neither. So, I mean, no, thank you.
So, at the time of his surgery in late September, it was reported, now it's his agent talking, Drew Rosenhaus, there's no nerve damage, no blood flow issues, no broken bones. The knee cartilage is fine. So where did you – I'm not doubting. Where did you see where he has an upcoming surgery?
That he's – I saw – I read it yesterday that he said he's got an upcoming surgery. He might not be available for most of the season.
I'm reading what ESPN has about his recovery, 9 to 12 months. He's at 4.5 months post-op. I don't know. I just don't see it in their article where he says he has another one coming up. I don't know. But, yeah, he had surgery. They deemed it successful, and you heard what I said, what Drew Rosenhaus reported at the time. So I don't know where he is other than he's available.
Yeah. Did you see Jaden Waddle? Is it Jaylen Waddle said, yeah, I'm next. Mm-hmm. Now, are they getting
– I'm next for – for getting paid, or I'm next for being out of there?
He's already been
being
paid.
Out of there.
What is next supposed to mean?
Jalen Waddle was, I'm next. I'm in the next cut. I thought he's, that's what
no,
I thought.
No, Jalen Waddle's not getting cut. Well, why would Jalen Waddle get cut?
They're basically thrown in the towel on this season. That's it. We're not going to win anything.
So, and I'm sure he liked the post that from someone who said, Jaylen Waddle reportedly told the Dolphins front office, me next, after the release of Bradley Chubb. So he liked it. I don't know that he said it, because guys always will like a post for whatever reason. So he didn't say it himself. He liked the post that said he said it.
Oh, well, maybe he did say it.
I don't know. But this comes from, I think it's a random account that said he said it, and then he liked it. I don't know, but he didn't. Nothing from an official account representing Jaylen Waddle.
So, do you figure they're going to – are they just cleaning out? Are they just
– there is really no reason to cut Jaylen Waddle. Now, I guess if they get – they wouldn't cut him, obviously. They would trade him if someone's going to offer them a two or something for him, maybe. But there's no reason. He's under contract. They've already cut enough guys to maintain to get under the cap, so they're cap compliant with the Chubb and James Daniel and Westbrook Akina releases. You don't. It doesn't make a lot of sense, because even if you're bad this year, he would still be under contract for next year when maybe you think you want to be a little bit better. Probably are going to re-sign or give Achane an extension. You would like to keep some of your mid 20s players. You don't have to get rid of everybody. You got rid of the older guys. But I don't know. I haven't heard anything that people who cover the Dolphins who say that Jaylen Waddle's next.
Well, if you want Arch Manning, then you got to get rid of all your good players.
Well, so if you don't have a quarterback, you're going to be bad. Jaylen Waddle can't survive with Quinn Ewers throwing them the football. So you could run Quinn Ewers out there and keep Jaylen Waddle and be bad. I mean, what's Quinn Ewers going to win?
Well, he could get you killed. He could get Jaylen Waddle killed.
Well, then, I mean, I don't know if you take that into account when you're making a move.
If Jaylen Waddle dies, he loses all value on the trade.
I don't know that he's going to die. He had Tua throwing him the football. He never died, and he's a soft tossing guy who'll throw balls over the middle of the field.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't want him to die. He's a Houston guy. I just don't want that for him.
Is that what you're concerned about, his death?
Yeah, yeah. Quinn Ewers throwing you a football over the middle? You think that's
Quinn's played football for a while. No one's ever died catching a football from Quinn Ewers, from what I know. I saw him at Texas, and I don't know, Matthew Golden never died.
No, Quinn, I mean, it is going to be interesting to see Quinn. Why not give Quinn a shot this year? You got seventh round. You got him on the seventh round. Why not?
He's the guy.
He's not the guy, because it's a new regime, period. So he's not their guy.
Yeah, but you know, just like I do, that Tua's.
Well, I'm not talking about Tua. They came from Green Bay. Who's the Green Bay quarterback who will be available?
Oh, Malik.
Do you give him a Justin Fields type deal?
Yeah.
Or less? Yeah.
Yeah, I would.
And you let it see how it plays out.
I would absolutely consider Malik for an $18 million. 18 to 21, maybe,
that you can get out of after
2 year deal.
Yeah, that seems like what they're going to do.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. And then you get away from, but then what are you doing, trading Tua? You can't.
Well, that's been the conversation. They would like to, but of course you're paying so much of the salary for someone to take them. Maybe you're doing the Brock Osweiler.
I would move Tua to the Cardinals and try to move Kyler.
Who, the Cardinals would move Kyler?
I would, yeah, if you're the Cardinals, you try to move Kyler, obviously.
I think they're both franchises are in that spot where they got quarterbacks who.
Just trade quarterbacks. Kyler's a Dolphin.
I just think the
Tua is a Cardinal.
You've got multiple guys from Green Bay.
Makes sense.
Who are making decisions. It feels like Malik Willis is their target.
Yeah, they know him and they've made him better, and he knows that tree. Yeah, that actually. You're following the money now, Dell. I see what you're doing. You're following the money.
And it's not going to cost you what it would cost to get to keep Kyler, even if you made that swap, which isn't going to happen. It feels like that's been the path as soon as Halfley and the GM got hired, that Malik Willis is going to get a chance to start in Miami. And, you know, 2 year deal, if the first year goes poorly, then you might be in line to draft a big time quarterback anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We don't have those problems here.
No, you just have draft guys speculating about trading your quarterback.
You're quarterback poor. We're one of the rich.
We're one of the middle class now.
We're Richie Rich right here. That's what we are.
We're middle class, and we're hoping for some type of tax cut.
We are hoping for – listen, I'm hoping that your business uses HRP. That's what I'm hoping for. Our business uses HRP. We had another payroll company back in the day when we first started, because we realized, and here's the thing that you have to realize about your business. You're not a payroll person. That's not what you do. Why are you wasting energy, money? Why are you doing it worse than you possibly could? Do it as well as you possibly can by getting a company that knows the payroll game, that has the technology that is unbelievable, that is second to none. All right. Proprietary technology that is fantastic, that we never have issues, ever have issues. OK, but here's the deal. All your employees have access to HRP whenever they have a question. So you don't even need an HR or payroll department because you have HRP on your side. OK, stop trying to do this yourself. You sell your widgets. Let HRP take care of your payroll and your tech and your HR, so you don't have to. What you're looking for is a great way to get this done as economically and easily as possible, and that's what HRP does every day. You're looking to make your life easier, HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Robert Duvall died yesterday.
Jesse Jackson today at 84, Robert Duvall yesterday at 95.
Jesse Jackson died?
Yeah, I guess this morning he died at the age of 84. Robert Duvall, I can't believe Robert Duvall was 95, but I was thinking, and he did Colors when he was probably about 57, Lonesome Dove when he would have been about 40. Ooh, no. He'd been about 52 when he did Lonesome Dove, I think. I liked Robert Duvall. I didn't love Robert Duvall, but I liked Robert Duvall. He was good as the consigliere in The Godfather. Yes. Really good.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
He was great. He was great. Now, I loved him in, I loved the smell of napalm in the morning.
Yeah, and Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was good in Apocalypse Now, too. There was an artsy movie with him as a, he did like some dance class or something. It was pretty good. So there was, let's see, what time is it? 8:24. So I'll never forget. How can I, let me just, yeah, I can say it right now. So it's the scene from Colors where he's got the young upstart cop who's also a hothead. They're in L.A. So the movie Colors is about gang warfare in Los Angeles. It was a really hot topic exploding on the scene in the late 80s. And they were two cops, Robert Duvall and Sean Penn. And Robert Duvall was the old school, you know, understood how to get along with the gang members and what he needed to do. You had the Crips and the Bloods, very specific Crips, Bloods, that's it. And then Sean Penn was like, we're going to kick their ass. We're, you know, one of those kind of guys. And so Robert Duvall tries to tell him a story to try to get him to calm down a little bit. And he goes, you know, there's two bulls. And he goes, there were two bulls. And the baby bull says, Daddy, Daddy, why don't we run down there and bleep one of those, you know, one of those cows? And so the dad says, why don't we just walk down and bleep them all? And he said, that he goes, and Sean Penn didn't understand. He was trying to tell Sean Penn, you can get more done if you're just not in a rush and so out over your skis all the time with your personality and your attitude. Sean Penn had, and his character had no idea. Sean Penn was a lunatic in his characters early on. Bad Boys, where he got in the juvenile fight with Isai Morales, where they knew, everyone knew a big fight was coming, a knockdown, drag out fight in Juvie and Bad Boys and Colors. He was a lunatic who, look at me now, Danny. I'm a homegirl, Danny. Look at me now. When Maria Conchita Alonso had to go full homegirl on him when he was trying to go out.
Well, did you see the Charlie Sheen documentary?
No, I haven't.
Sean Penn was one of the boys that grew up with all of them.
And, oh yeah, the Estevez is, yeah.
Yeah. So, and he was in it. They interviewed him and he was prominent in the thing and he was a nut job just like the rest of them. They were all nuts.
Well, actually, he is to this day. He's a scary dude to this day, which is, you know, what's the craziest part? We were introduced to Sean. I think Fast Times came before Bad Boys, and there couldn't have been a character less like Sean Penn than Fast Times at Ridgemont High, where he was just this laid-back stoner. Like, he's anything but laid-back in real life.
No, he's pretty intense, no question. All right, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. The Texans draft class, after 1 year, I'm looking at all the grades, of all of the, you know, first year, and you can't grade them at right after the draft, which you hate doing that. But after 1 year, it still is an incomplete grade, but, at least you got something to go by. What happened on the field? They got the Bears with an A, the Browns with an A, especially with Schlesinger in the second round. Judkins, he was pretty damn good. The Seahawks A-. What do you think the Texans got? They're great.
Let me think. Who do they have? They have Higgins. They have Ursary. A pretty good grade. I would get Jalen Noel, who's got a chance to be the best receiver in the league. Sign Twitter. Who am I missing? Am I missing somebody? Jalen. You got Jalen Lane. Oh,
Higgins, Ursary, Noel. Jalen Smith. Woody Marks.
Well, Jalen Smith didn't play, but the other Jalen, yeah.
Graham Mertz, Keontae Hamilton, and Luke Lachey.
Yeah, I would say you have two primary guys and a third kick returner. I would say that's a good, strong B+.
They got a B- on them.
Yeah, it's a B+. That's a bad grade.
Yeah. I don't think they're giving them enough credit. Okay. Jaden Higgins, did they use him enough?
Yeah, I think it just takes time. They always tell you rookies it takes time, and they integrated him in the second half of the season.
They did,
Yeah, so that made sense. Yeah, I think he did what you would expect, a second-round wide receiver learning to adjust to the NFL. It made sense. That's why I think he did solid. I think Ursary did solid. I think those are strong. I think Ursary is a B+ for playing left tackle in the NFL at all. Then you give Higgins a B, and then I think you get a B on Jalen Noel because – he was a plus kick and punt returner for you. And I don't mind that he didn't, you know, do a whole lot as a wide receiver. He's a rookie. That's okay.
You know, Jalen Reed ended up playing more. Woody Marks played a bunch and actually produced pretty damn well.
Woody was a rookie last year.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a bullcorn. I'm going to have to call bullcorn on that grade. B minus. With Woody Marks, Ursary, and Jaden Higgins alone, but you throw in the return talent of Jalen Noel, how do you give him a B minus? Who did that? A&E Sports? Who did that draft stuff?
This was your net. This was your website, okay?
NFL.com?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's okay. Not, I mean, it's a fair grade if you think about it.
Bullcorn is what you call. I want to see who did it.
Don't say Dan Parr.
You said bullcorn.
I'm going to call bullcorn on this.
It's.
Don't say Dan Parr.
No, Gennaro Felice.
Oh, he's like the editor. What's he doing? What's he? No one
editor
cares.
At large.
Hey, cut it out. Edit. Stop trying to give grades to us.
So Gennaro. Now he's Italian. I love all of his.
You want
grades.
Me to call him? And get him on the air right now and confront him about the grade.
Yes,
he gave
yes,
us.
Yes.
Hey, Gennaro, I'd like to confront you.
Yes.
I'm gonna actually see if I can. I think he lives in Chicago. Most of these guys, for some reason, live in
well,
Chicago.
His name is Gennaro Felice.
Hey,
he
Gennaro.
He's living in Milan.
Hey, Gennaro. Wait, you hey. Gennaro.
That's right. You're damn right.
I don't know.
All right, let's catch up on breaks. Robert Flores put us a little behind, so here we go. If you want to get in, 7378037776. If you want to repipe, okay. So here's the deal. Billy says, okay, how old your house? At least take a look at it. Let us come to your home, take a look at your pipes, because if your house was built in the 60s, 70s, 80s, we're talking about 80s. If your house was built in 1980, it's 46 years old. Okay, those pipes are quite possibly ready to burst and not going to be great. Okay, if your house is a little bit older and you haven't done anything, you need to. If you haven't cleaned out your water, why don't you your tankless water heater needs to be cleaned out. There's a lot of resin in there that's building up, and they can do that. You have to take some preemptive strikes, okay, so that you're not like me and Lance, where you got emergencies, right?
Yeah. Oh, we have to have them. I call them for the little things, but. I mean, the emergencies are – that's a really big deal. And having a company that has a lot of different drivers, I mean, a lot of different plumbers, they can get 3 and 4 people on the major jobs for you, 2 if it's 2 is needed. They understand what's needed. They get out there. They don't charge you to come diagnose the problem, and then they get it done. And because they have a bunch of trucks, they can get to a lot of different jobs very, very quickly. So for emergencies, 100% recommend our friends over at Aqueduct Plumbing Company, and they are going to be – you know, honestly, whether it's a big job or small job, they're going to treat you fair. They're going to be transparent with pricing, and you're going to get the job done right the first time. Their number is 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 975-713-780-3776. We haven't taken any calls. Let's get some calls in here. 713-780-3776, the number. If you would like to get in here and talk to us, what would Tyreek Hill cost?
Ooh, I'll have to go look at contracts. Off the top of my head, I'm thinking, a lot of it depends on the health. You think he's healthy to start season, Dale? And the legal?
I don't even know what his legal situation is at this point.
Yeah, I would say.
I think that he's one of those guys that if you sign him.
Probably $18 million with elevators or with escalators rather for incentives for
games played and performance.
Yeah, maybe they can go up to 23.
So if we remember that injury, it wasn't a simple ACL. His leg was pointing in the wrong direction. It was a dislocation. That's why when Drew Rosenhaus came out and said no blood, no nerve damage, blood flow wasn't messed with.
What you want to have?
He wanted to get that out there because that injury suggests that we're not just talking about a simple ACL recovery. They said 9 to 12 months recovery time. Considering what his job is. I don't think you're rushing him back. He's supposed to be a speed receiver. That's how he makes his living. And that happened about the fourth week of the season. You probably don't even see him until October.
So you'd have to sign him and you put him on pup list.
Yeah.
And Drew's going to want him paid for 17 weeks, not for when you're going to play him. Like, I'm sure teams would say, hey, well, let's pick him up as he's getting healthier than we want to pick him up. Drew's going to be like, no, if you want him, you got to pay him all 17 weeks. And you can just put him on a pup list. We're not going to have one of these in-season free agency things. You're going to stick him on your roster and you're going to pay him.
Yep. I mean, if there's one thing I don't need to know, Drew Rosenhaus, it's about his blood flow, okay? Because
in the leg.
In
the knee.
Yeah, this isn't Blue Chew.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've already had a guy who's had, you know, do you want two of those guys on your roster? Two guys who you're not sure that their legs are going to be okay? I don't know. I just know Tyreek Hill, one of the things I think CJ misses is a quick opener. A guy who gets open suddenly is what Tank provided for him. And what, frankly, I mean, when healthy, that's what Tyreek Hill can give you. And he can give you that on all three levels. He gives you an easy open target to throw to. He's smaller, but he also creates windows very, very quickly if he's explosive off the leg. Now, that's a problem you run into if you're the Texans. I don't see how you know. Like, who wants to give – you have to give him a deal, you have to get a physical done. And even if you get a physical done, don't you want to see him on the field exploding out of his cuts and things like that before you give him money?
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's going to – you're going to have to give him money before he's ready to do that. That's – you know, if you're the Texans,
and
you'd
plus
have to
all
find
the other
money
stuff
to do that. You don't even have money to do it. Now, you are going to see a – John, the cap is going to raise by over $20 million.
Yeah. But no, I taking that chance with him. Not only that, but all the other stuff. That's not at all.
Is he swarm though, John? Is he swarm?
Well, he did quit on his team at the end of a season. So
I saw him knock a girl down who was trying to guard him.
You didn't see that. You heard about it.
Oh yeah.
No one actually saw that.
Well, then don't try to guard him so close.
Hey, well. What did she say? He was he got upset because she locked him up at the line of scrimmage or something. So he responded,
"Ma'am, I've seen the videos."
I'm not laughing at the incident, but the story of why she said
"Ma'am, you didn't lock him up."
Yeah, her reasoning.
He may have made you mad. You may have made him mad because you were trash talking him, saying you locked him up.
Yeah,
that could happen. Have you ever seen the video? Tyreek always does this, where he lets little kids shake him in youth camp. Like, you think they really shake him? The most explosive athlete, maybe most explosive receiver we've seen in the last decade. You think little kids and some bigger woman is locking
bigger
him
woman.
Down or shaking him off the?
If you don't know the story, apparently this woman was maybe either at a football practice or a youth camp, and Tyreek saw her and invited.
He liked what he saw.
And she said slid into his DMs because, as Lance said, liked what he saw. And he said bigger woman, so I guess we'll go with that.
Well, just juicy.
She was.
Juicy junker.
I don't know what that means.
As
well, I'm not sure.
As I would say, is what you just
as
said? John would say,
I would never say that. That's never come out of my mouth.
So she was larger.
And I quote.
She wasn't a cornerback.
She was more a box safety.
Yeah, more playing in the box safety. Yeah, yeah. She was bigger, and he invited her over.
Undersized linebacker.
And she said he goes, hey, you're here, but you're a little early. I got a train. So she was like, okay, I'll watch. He goes, no, come out here and help. And she said she was playing corner and locked him down. And that's what got him upset.
So he ran over or
something
like
that? Yeah,
ran
over and she got hurt or something.
So she's suing him.
Yeah. I don't know if that lawsuit's been settled, but that's kind of the gist
of
it.
There's another one.
But that's not the one. Isn't it when he got arrested?
Oh, he's in more trouble because of his interactions with his wife. Well, now ex-wife.
Okay, see, this is the problem with Tyreek Hill. Is it the one where he ran over the girl and got sued, or the one where he got arrested for driving 150 miles an hour there in Miami and then got the issue with the cops? Or is it him with domestic violence or what? Yeah, not swarm. Next question. Wait, we're done with this topic.
Yeah, it doesn't fit the
profile
of a Texan.
We're done with this topic. They're not. He's not swarming.
Yeah, no, he's not swarming. He's not swarming. Not at all. He's got way too much baggage. Way too much. And we got Tank. I mean, Tank, did you see his calves? I mean, holy crap. Tank is back, brother.
Now, the problem for Tank is anyone who watched that wasn't amazed by his recovery and what he was doing. Everyone's like, man, his legs are small. I talked to AJ about that yesterday. AJ's like, yeah, I saw that video. He looks small.
Well, he always has.
Everyone.
This is why guys don't like drafting tiny receivers, because they have tiny legs. They can get splintered into tiny bones. Their bones are splintered into pieces.
So what you do is when you got a guy with, like, sticks for, like, Kevin Durant legs, what you do is you play him at guard, and he blocks inside on the goal line. That's awesome.
Well, he got hurt playing receiver, too.
Yeah, well, guess what? He also got hurt. Okay, that was the first thing. Okay,
he's been hurt three times.
He's had concussion,
the broken fibula,
and then the catastrophic
knee injury.
And he never missed a game or practice at U of A.
Yeah, but that doesn't really matter. How hard are they?
He was playing in the AAC.
He has AAC. They don't tackle in that league.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's why the
Cougs
got
flags.
Out.
Yeah. Well, guess what? Jerry Rice played in the SWAC.
But
so,
it's a lot bigger and stronger and faster and more physical.
And Jerry Rice says
games.
Bigger than Tank.
Supposedly.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope Tank makes it back. It would be a great story for Tank. I don't see how he gets a second contract. And I think he has to earn his job back, obviously, against Jalen Noel. I think Jalen Noel will be a bigger factor. It sounds like Jalen Noel didn't always know where to go. There are some comments that CJ made about, I think it was CJ who made, or no, it was Nick Cayley, who said something about Jalen Noel needed to know where to be on different routes. And that's the rookie issue you have, where rookies don't really, you know, understand choice routes and things like that. They misread coverages.
It sounds to me like you change his name every time you say it.
Noel.
Is it Noel?
It's Noel.
Well, you keep saying Noel.
Well, it should be Noel, but he mispronounces it.
Supposedly.
N-O-L-E is Noel. N-O-E-L. And is he N-O-E-L-L-E?
He's N-O-E-L.
Yeah, that's Noel. Noel, the first Noel.
Yeah,
we don't sing the first Noel.
No one sings that
for Christmas carols.
That's Bobby Bowden.
The first Noel?
Yeah, no.
We got to start getting our name right, Jalen, before we play you.
You think that's keeping him off the field?
That might be. You don't know.
When do the Rockets play again?
Was it Friday? Did they play on Friday or Thursday?
That's a long break. I hope the Rockets fix their stuff by then.
It's Thursday. They play Charlotte. Well, it's a long break because that PR team's got to go to work.
Okay, so I did apologize to my son Mason for I don't like the conspiracy theorists that live in my house, and one of them now I think is trying to get on HGH. But I'm pretty sure. So I watched him crack an egg into his mouth yesterday, and I'm like, "What are we doing? This is
don't
absolutely
you have
ridiculous."
The ability to put your thumb on the scale and change some things in that home.
I'm trying to. I'm never there. I'm only there from.
You're like Mike
I get
McDonald?
Home at 8:30 or
yeah,
8:40.
He is. He's McDonald, the Mike McDonald yes. of NFL.
I get home at 8:45 p.m. and then I'm in bed by 10 o'clock rewatching Schitt's Creek out of respect to the great Catherine O'Hara.
Of course.
And I'm still trying to finish this Vietnam documentary. Hey, this just in. Ooh, Vietnam was screwed up. This just in.
Oh, didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's way more screwed up than I ever realized. Now I realize when my dad doesn't like talking about Vietnam, I'm like, ooh, boy, I'm not going to ask. This is going to be a don't ask, don't tell situation here after watching episode 3. No,
that's some revealing content there.
Yeah, well, you had to go watch a documentary. It's called a tease. So anyway, I told my son.
But it's not your doc.
I told my son, Mason, I said, look, I know I got after you a little bit about, I didn't realize it wasn't just screenshots of burner accounts, that it was a screenshot of a supposed group text. I said, now I will say, some of the stuff I didn't find to be super believable. But at the same time, I know how people talk in group texts, and there is a chance that he said some of the things he said when it was supposed to be just between him and the fellas. It does raise a question, how would something like that get out? Would he really say that about Jabari, who like Jabari. I know, I want to believe he wouldn't, but he could like Jabari as a person and still call him the R word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's definitely possible to still like him.
Yeah.
And he said James Harden is a good N-word.
He
misses James.
He backed James against Roosh.
But he did say, that's right. And he, oh my gosh.
He likes James.
And he did say, at least James would pass me the ball.
No, that was Ben Simmons.
No, yeah. Ben Simmons would pass me the ball. Who is he referring to? Wouldn't pass him the ball.
We'll never know, will we?
Ben Simmons, you crumb bum.
But either way, a man who's chronically online.
Did you see? He's on his phone at the All-Star game on the court. Yes. I know y'all saw that.
Yeah,
yesterday.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Did you see it? Dude,
and
please.
As he's walking in.
Dude, this is embarrassing for KD. This is an addiction. I talk to my kids about being addicted to their smartphone. KD is way worse. His mom has got to call him and say, KD, you've got to get off your phone. You got to go touch grass. This is ridiculous. And I saw some guy post, and I hesitate to, no one else, he said report. And this is a guy, I don't know, maybe this is one of these other reports that the Rockets had a staff meeting after, or had a team meeting after a staff member saw him tweeting from a burner, and he apparently walked out during the meeting. No one else, I don't know if anyone else picked it up. It had thousands and thousands of likes and a lot of reposts and stuff like that. I don't know if it's true or not. I just know the real problem, and it was a discussion between Max Kellerman and Rich Paul, of all people, LeBron's agent. And Max brought up the point that I think we all understand, is that the fact that this could be possible is the problem, because he's got burnt. Like, we already know that he's chronically online. He responds to everything. He's got big opinions with big words and strong, strong opinions. And he has had a burner. He has admitted to having a burner. So this could be, the fact that this could even be true could cause problems. Like, I'm telling you now, and Dreamshake said, he's a great guy. He's a real one. I can tell. Like, you don't know these guys.
Do you think it is going to cause that there's going to be a problem with the team?
Well, you just deny it if you're Kate. You never. Yeah. You go to your grave denying this.
Well, and if you're Jabari, you're like, I've been called worse.
No, you go to Oh no, a guy you idolize. Calling you.
If he said that about me, I go, my mom called me way worse than that.
Yeah, but you're not. You weren't born. Jabari does have a dad that kind of gets after him, but your mom was a rough Greek lady.
Like, yeah.
I don't know that Jabari's mom is Greek.
No, she probably
isn't.
And
I don't know that Jabari grew up on the south side of Chicago, you know, being smacked around by nuns and priests.
Yeah,
hit on the hands. Like, you're built different, John. You're just built different. You're him.
I was the mini guinea. So
So I'm not sure Gen Z likes being called that word.
Yeah.
Especially by somebody who you kind of idolize potentially. That probably hurts a little bit.
Well,
but
then you should take it to heart and play better.
No, if you're KD,
is he calling him that because he's not playing? Because
he thinks he plays dumb basketball.
Okay.
If he even said that,
I don't know that he said it.
If you're Kevin Durant, you go to him and say, "Dude, I didn't say that. Just so you know how much I love you. I didn't say any of this stuff. I don't know who's out there with this AI trying to get me set up. But
yeah.
Alpi, you know it. I stand up in a meeting. I'm like, Alpi, you know I'm down for you, Jabari. That's why I tell people all the time, I love you, I work with you. Y'all cannot let this foolishness. But at the same time, dude, get off your freaking phone and stop trying to light up Roosh Williams for making a comment about James Harden where you weren't even tagged.
He wasn't tagged in the thing that started it all.
How are you even finding this stuff?
He wasn't even mentioned in what started the whole thing.
I don't even want to tag him because he'll come after me, and then I'll get roasted.
Listen, but Jabari, listen. I didn't say all that stuff. That wasn't me. But you do need to play harder.
But that guy had a point.
He does have a point.
Terrible.
But that fake AI
That's
post
terrible.
Had a point. You do need to play smarter basketball.
That doesn't help. If he goes, you know, let's not throw out everything he said.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
I mean,
in a vacuum. Now, the Ben Simmons stuff I never said, okay?
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Just so you know, I would never say that about Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons. Nobody wants to see Ben Simmons anymore.
I wish that this stuff didn't seem plausible.
You know what people want to see? Craig DeSerf.
Yeah. Why would you not want to see Craig DeSerf? That means you're about to get a great, great deal. And some new stuff just came out. Let me see if I can pull it up. Here's one. Let me give you an example. You know, Craig DeSurf, I've known him for over 20 years, and his dealership is awesome because he runs it for the customer. And so that's you. He's running this for you. He wants you to be happy. And I know you'll hear people say that, but until you deal with Craig DeSurf and figure out who he is, once you meet him, you'll understand, okay, I know exactly what Lance is talking about now. He doesn't play by the rules. He doesn't care about all this, acting a certain kind of way, going to sales conferences to learn the best techniques. He's just like, dude, you just give people a great offer, try to save them the most money, give them the most for their trade-in, treat them like a family member, and they come back and buy from you a second and third time around. That's how you get people's business. And the Chevy Silverado 1500 with TurboMax, right now, well-qualified buyers are getting 1.9% APR financing when you go to GM Financial. I just saw a truck, and I want to say, I don't know if it was a Chevy or a GMC. I think it was a Chevy truck that they had. It was not a Silverado, but it was a truck that they had for a lease for under $300 a month with over $1,900 due at signing for this 36-month low-mileage lease. That could end up being perfect for you. You can save thousands in total value with cash allowance on that 1.9% financed 2026 Chevy Silverado 1500 with the TurboMax engine that I talked about. You got engine credit, bonus cash. You got a ton going on. Go to the website. You can see all the different offers they have for you. Just know that in Angleton, they're doing it different, and they will treat you like a family member every single time. If you're buying a Buick, a Chevy, or a GMC, you must start the process at LanceZCars.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.